Okay, what we have here is board time on Wednesday, the 7th of January at 3:36.
Okay.
Counselors, first item of business is approval of minutes for the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th of December. Apologize for those being so tardy, but we did have some corrections to make and a number of holidays that intervened.
And they're fine. I review them.
Okay. Commissioner Mielke has already signed them. I'll pass them around for...
Oh, hang on a second.
I thought I had a minor note here.
On which date?
I X'd out my... It would be minutes of December 17th.
Okay.
This may not be a highly significant, but it could be.
Okay.
So if we go down to legislative agenda, and we go down to the center of that paragraph, Swanson's name is twice.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to the next line after that, Governor
Inslee.
Oh, just corrected.
Yep. Okay.
Also, calling for comprehensive statewide transportation funding. I think the word funding should be there.
Package. Funding package, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Just so that we know what the reference was.
Okay. You mentioned Swanson's name appears twice.
Three times.
Yeah, three times, actually, but it's the line after that where this appears.
Okay. Can approve them subject to those changes? We'll just...
Yeah. Why don't I lead here, Mark? So why don't we do this? Why don't we entertain a motion here for December 3 and approving the December 3 and December 10, and then we'll amend the December 17.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And let's then that puts those two out of the way. So I entertain a motion here to approve December 17 with the correction you can specify.
December 10. Are we going to also approve that?
We just did those.
We just did
two.
We did three and ten
together.
Yes.
Thank you. I so move on December 17th minutes.
Okay.
And approve with that amendment.
Okay, so that's with the understanding. Approve the December 17 minutes with a correction under legislative agenda to correct the misspelling on Governor Inslee and to insert funding package at the tail end of the sentence ending with statewide transportation. Right?
That's my motion.
Mm-hmm. And a second?
You did it all at one time?
I've already done these two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In other words?
You didn't move the 17th before amending it.
Okay, we'll put it on the floor first. I
move to approve the minutes of December 17th amendment that we have.
And then go ahead and make an amendment.
And with the amendment that I indicated prior.
I'll second the amendment.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's a motion to amend that with those corrections. You second that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the motion to approve the amended minutes.
You want to vote on the amendment first?
Oh, yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Now. Motion to approve the amended minutes.
Yes.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
You get high marks for following Robert's rules. Okay.
Very formal. Just make sure we dot the I's, cross the T's.
So you don't see these twice. I'll have the corrections made, and then I'll circulate all three for signature at one time.
Okay.
Next item on the agenda is the... it's a document entitled Charter Implementation Process Agreement that was discussed in December that was moved to this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it's Councilor Madore's item to discuss.
In reviewing the charter, I have come across two areas that I thought were in contradiction of one another. And then it became apparent to me that some of our staff here in the county helped draft that charter, and then some of our legal staff blessed that charter the way it was written, and it still contradicts itself. And
do you have a specific citation?
I don't, in front of me.
Okay.
But that was just the two that I saw, and I didn't go through the, all the way. So I wanted to recommend that maybe that we look for an independent counsel or ask for our PA office to give us an independent counsel to help us do what the charter says. And so it would tell what the manager does, what we do, and what the other things that we're supposed to do with the charter.
So you mean independent?
Yeah. And all they'd have to do would be to take the charter as it was passed, and we would make a list of things that we want them to give us their legal opinion on. So we want to know the role of the counselors, the managing role of the manager. Anything else that we could think of?
Would they, who could we get independently to do that, that would understand when there is a conflict? Because some of it you have to kind of know about. You have to kind of understand roles and functions.
Right.
The way it was and the way it's being proposed in the charter. And then if there are sections of the charter that seem to contradict or at least cause confusion, would it take a legal person to do that?
Well, I think to do it right and to make sure we get an expert in that field, because we want to do it right. I mean, if I could do it wrong, then I could try to interpret myself. And that's kind of what I'm thinking, that this document you're reading here is that we're going to interpret, or our staff is going to interpret what it means, and part of our staff wrote it. And it's important that what they wrote is what the people voted on, and that we do it what they voted on, not what they thought they put in there.
Yeah, I would want to talk to Chris Cook and ask her to what extent she actually drafted language, or was she simply there to answer legal questions? Because I don't know whether she wrote the document or parts of it.
I got an email from Mr. Rourke and Mr. Green, and they said that our attorney Chris Cook helped write that.
How would they know?
Because they were at nearly every meeting. What the email says. I think we all got that email.
What about this suggestion? If you can identify a particular area of the charter that needs to be defined, why don't we bring that forward at that time, specific, and just simply move forward on those areas that are clear. Unless you have a particular section that you feel like needs to be defined.
Well, part of it our staff is still working on, and we're still not real positive what it says either. And that was the easy part, and that had to do with the advisory boards and the commissions. Some was in the bylaws that said that the task was to the legislative body, and some didn't say at all. And the ones that didn't say it all, I would think we'd go back and do what the charter says. And then also, under state statute, we would only do those things that are in state statute. And if it was in ordinance, we would do what the charter said, and then we'd have to change our ordinance. And that's what we kind of talked about in good faith. Under our understanding, we would start doing the things that were controlled by ordinance, even before we pass change the ordinance. But if we could get independent counsel, then we could get an independent professional opinion as to what we're supposed to do with that.
I think what Commissioner Medora might be trying to express is maybe you wait until we identify something where there's a disagreement on the interpretation of something. We might have several things where we go through the process, you and the executive authority agree, the prosecuting attorney's office agrees with the interpretation, and you don't have a problem with that, you don't need to spend the money for outside counsel to advise you on those.
Well, maybe
wait for the ones that where you are unsure or not confident in their interpretation.
In the emails that I received, implies that there's a difference of opinion of the other people looking at it and the way we're looking at it. And if we had an outside independent person looking at it of legal statute, then that would give us more muster to say, this is what the charter says to do. Mm-hmm. Others, it comes back as we could all agree to do something, and the outside parties would say, we disagree with you, and you're just padding it. And we've already been accused of it, and not even started. So I would recommend that we maybe consider that. I don't see where we could win if we interpret ourselves. We could sit down and we could agree with our manager, but the outside sources who claim to have been there and helped write it would disagree with us, and then we're at fault.
Why don't we reserve that kind of remedy for a situation that may arise specifically, because as we see it right now, it looks like we have some very straightforward things to do one step at a time. It is going to be, an orderly step-by-step process. And it's what is defined for us, at least for the next steps, are pretty clearly defined.
No, it's not. Our list of advisory committees and whatnot, we have gray areas there.
There might be, but to use that as an example, some of them are very clear.
Sure, and we can and do those.
Right, so you'll agree that it's clear in some cases, the executive will agree, and your prosecuting attorney will agree in some cases it's very clear. But if there's one that comes up that isn't clear, a specific board, a specific RCW, and we're not sure, we can get the advice of our attorney, and if there's still disagreement between the branches, then we could possibly seek outside counsel. I think that's what
I kind of imagine that we'd give somebody the charter and legal staff, whoever the independent staff would be, would look at that and come back after reviewing that and making a report to cover the areas that we're concerned about within a day. And we could drag through it and bounce back and forth and have more delays than it would cost us to have one person do a draft in 1 or 2 days.
It might be difficult for outside counsel to operate under that premise, because the way most attorneys work is, give me the problem and I'll help you resolve the answer legally. If you're in looking at what Councillor Madure and Peter were suggesting, you don't have a battle until you have a problem, so you don't want to create a problem. What problem are you trying to solve? So if you have a situation where there is an impasse, our prosecuting attorneys looked at it, our county managers looked at it, the counselors have looked at it, and there's either an impasse or it's a really gray area, and the counselors feel more comfortable having an outside opinion, you could always do that at that time. But there are so many areas that you can move forward on that are fairly straightforward and get the process going without that involvement.
Otherwise, it's what if we run into a problem? Is really the question I'm thinking. Well, so far we haven't run into one. And if we do, then we will talk about potential remedies at that point.
Well, everything stops. I mean, you're going to pay someone to review half of it, probably the same price as they reviewed the whole thing. So why not have someone review the whole thing and give us their opinion? Last night, we heard complaints because we'd moved forward and other people were wanting to scrutinize what was already there. So no matter what we do, it's not going to be right.
And one thing to consider as well is our civil division has a number of attorneys, and typically when one attorney is compromised because of a conflict, then Chris Horton would simply take the work and assign it to another. Mm-hmm. And there's independence between those attorneys, and the one that's recused herself would not be allowed to talk to the one who has the newly assigned work. Mm-hmm. So we could avoid all that extra expense by simply asking Chris Horn not to have Chris Cook do any review work on any question related to the charter. Another thing to consider as well is that Tony Golic, he's the one that decides whether to secure outside counsel. The board doesn't do that.
They usually do that at our request.
Yes, I don't know if he would agree to that in this case, however.
So, Counselor Melky.
Yeah. Slash Commissioner.
Indeed. I've had some of the same concerns you have. And each time I read the charter, I'll read something, I'll be reading along later on, and I'm going, well, wait a minute, that's not what it said earlier.
That's what happened
so
to me.
If it's not direct conflict in different parts of the charter, mm-hmm. if it's not a direct conflict, it is a matter of confusion or issue. It's a matter of issue that you would want to understand best what it means and, you know, how what each of those two separate sections are trying to get at and accomplish, and how do you get the best out of both of those? Or are they in such direct conflict it can't be resolved? So, and there are other areas that might be gray areas that it would be beneficial for us to have someone independent and legal. It's not going to be every piece of the charter, but on the ones that there's a question, to have other eyes on it, eyes that are professional, to be able to look at a piece of it, I think that could be a really good idea. Maybe not for the whole charter, but at any point that we get to an area that we're going, we're not really sure what all this means. Mm-hmm. Some of that work on the boards and commissions has been done, or at least the background work.
Yeah.
But on a couple of those, there are still some interpretations that need to be done. So if we knew that resource would be available when we need them.
Well, I guess going back and looking at what you have drafted here, third paragraph down, it says the council, with the input of the city manager, would develop an orderly process to identify and implement the necessary changes to the rules and whatnot. So who's going to decide what the rules are and what's the orderly process? So already we're already starting to do this, and you want me to sign this thing, and I'm not sure that under all of us getting together, we're all going to do the right thing.
But it will be similar to the way you address current issues. You're going to have staff come up with a recommendation. You're going to have the prosecuting attorney review that, and it will be brought to you in that form for you to review. And if you have questions about it at that time, I think you would be free to seek additional counsel.
I will do that. But the first time someone comes up next week and says, you guys aren't doing it right, we go back and do it my way.
I want to have your...
That's a guaranteed bet.
I don't think you can escape. You'll never escape the public accusing you of not doing it.
I can if I have an independent legal counsel. Other than that, it's all my cohort partners that are making those decisions.
Your co-conspirators?
Yeah. The county code co-conspirators.
So, Counselor Melky, I would agree to at least have a legal person on our staff we could go to that's not a person who worked on it and drafted it.
That'd be a good start.
And if we have a conflict, I think it would make sense to take it out of our hands in our interpretation, because once you start interpreting, you tend to be entrenched in your own interpretation, which is exactly your concern, that some of the people that are going to be interpreting it are the very people who wrote it. They're already bested.
I have two people on my email that want to tell me the process and what to use to get there.
I know. So I think to have someone in legal standing by to be available for us when needed.
Right.
When we get.
I've got a point I'd like to make that is somewhat counter to the point I just made a few minutes ago. Is that frequently when legislation is interpreted, or even the Constitution, when the writers of the Constitution were still alive and you could access the record of the proceedings, if someone questioned an element of the Constitution, either at the federal level or at the state level, you could go back and look at the proceedings to determine the intent based on the conversation that they had, and that helps you interpret the language that they came up with. If Chris Cook was in the room and she heard all of the proceedings, she might understand the intent better than anybody else. And so I would just like the board to realize that that is a resource and help interpreting what the language was supposed to mean when it was drafted.
See, coming from my side, I look at it different.
Straightforward.
I look at it different because if that was the intent and she's a professional, she should be able to write it down that way. Or if it's a single document with a single subject, you could write down the intent and be very, very clear. If you put the intent in the very beginning of the charter, that would be quite lengthy.
Right. The drafters of legislative language always seek to write the language as clearly as they can so that there isn't debate about what the legislation means subsequent to it being approved. But being a legislator,
you
know as well as anyone that what you think is clear might not be clear to the average reader.
There is no RCW that's clear.
So there's never an intent to insinuate that any one person who may have been involved in the giving counsel or giving information or providing help in any way would intentionally be biased in their opinions. But it's human nature that if you're invested in something and you had a big part in writing it. So to Counselor Stewart's point, it's comforting to know that you have another resource with fresh eyes that can look at it from a legal standpoint strictly.
If we use the boards and commissions as an example, though, we know that there's a transition, and we know there's a change in the charter, and we looked at that, and after examining that, we found RCW, state law, that specifically says, for example, legislative body will make the appointment, or the Board of County Commissioners will make the appointment, and there's no dispute between you, the county manager, or our legal staff that when it says that, it means you will retain that authority. So that's an example where we can analyze that amongst ourselves and come to the same conclusion.
Well, not quite, because it says it says that we will follow the state laws and the ordinances. And some ordinances give
be in a different section, but under the board appointments it says subject to state law, the charter or interlocal agreement are the three.
Interlocal agreement is what?
Well, you might have an interlocal agreement with another body that states in that agreement that the board would make the appointments.
I haven't found any of those where there wasn't already an RCW. So my point was in I thought it referenced an ordinance direction as a legislative body to make the choice.
And that's true. There are some Clark County codes, ordinances, that state that the Board of Commissioners will make the appointment.
That's my very first gray area.
And we are working on a procedure to address those as needed to get those transitioned over where the charter says that the county manager is going to make the appointment. We need to have a process to make the county code reflect that so it reflects what the charter says.
So
we're working on
our intent is to change everything that is not or is in county ordinance to the manager.
The ones that don't have an RCW requirement that aren't going to continue to be appointed. We'll come up with a process.
With that.
We'll come up with a process that you will all again agree to.
Well, and
to
that's
move
kind of what we threw out there. When I was kind of concerned when we had the ordinance that gave direction for the legislative body.
But the boards and commissions are only a part.
Oh, just the tip of the iceberg.
You're talking about
that's the easy part.
And to use that as an example, we have ones where it appears that the county manager is going to be appointing them. We have a county code that says currently that the commissioners make the appointment. So as part of that process, we'll have staff, legal staff, look at those specific boards when they come up and make sure that our conclusion is right, that the county manager will make those appointments, make sure there's not something we're missing, and then if it's correct, we'll have them draft an amendment to the ordinance to correct it. So we'll re-review these.
Yeah, re-review the RCW that...
The county code, the ones that are county
codes. County code, we said if it's in county code, we're going to change it.
We are, but what I'm saying is even though the only thing that we found is the county code, we'll have the prosecuting attorney look at it and make sure we didn't miss something as part of the process to confirm that it should be under the county managers. So we'll double check our work as we move forward.
Okay.
This talk is about procedures that are in your head, and some are included here. I want to say, because you know that is not a foregone conclusion, that all that is going to end up in here, and that's how we're going to proceed. So I'd like to go back to this document and talk about what we're going to do step by step that we agree on. So, and I have a recommendation for an addition to this.
Great.
And a recommendation for... Do we want to, can I just start with what I'm recommending for modifications?
Yeah.
So the purpose of this document, Mr. Madore, you wrote this. Maybe you can outline just what the purpose of this was.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about some of the content and possible modifications.
Sure. First of all, it was a draft to hand it to each of us, including the manager, and with the idea of make it better. It's a starting point. It's a skeleton. And I think we're already discovering that the path forward is incremental, step by step. We are a good team working together. And this just simply is, actually, I think we've already preceded this with the track record we developed just for the last since we drafted this. So the idea behind this is that to ensure that whatever process we go forward, it's to be thoughtful, is to be sequential, it's to be step by step, incremental, moving along without haste, making mistakes, and without dragging our feet to somehow not accomplish what can be done. And I welcome any changes here in order to accomplish that.
So I appreciate the spirit of this, because what we're trying to do is make step-by-step incremental changes to implement the charter.
Yeah.
But what we don't want to do is act in haste, make mistakes, that then we have to go back and redo something because we've blundered. And I assure you, we're going to blunder in a few places, all of us under our best attempt, but we'll fix them. But we want to keep that to a minimum.
Yeah.
So based on the spirit of this, if we could go down to paragraph... four. And I have a recommendation for insertion of a sentence here. And I'll read it at least twice. It's a little bit lengthy. So this would logically go in after the first sentence, so after the first two lines of that fourth paragraph. And it's to this effect. Proposed incremental steps of the transition will be proposed and forwarded for review, discussion, and agreement by counselors. And then the next sentence would basically be dependent on any changes or after it's been drafted, after we look at it and the city or the county manager looks at it, that we would have a point that we say, yes, we all agree on this, and before we implement the steps so that we're all on the same. So as it comes to us or we create, if we're the source of creating an interpretation or an incremental step, we need to get your feedback on it. And if you say, no, I don't think that's what it means, we need to work that stuff out. Mm-hmm. Because I think the key is the counselors don't want to be left out of the formation or incremental steps, and we certainly have no intention of leaving you out. You're the county manager. Mm-hmm. Not only is this your responsibility, too, this is, we're a team.
It's a joint responsibility.
We're a team,
yeah,
on this.
Yeah.
And so that's why I asked to have that included. Now, there's another statement in the next paragraph that I think puts ridiculous pressure on the county manager. It says the county manager will submit a draft document, mm-hmm, with recommended changes to the counselors by January 31, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We can't mean that. Does it mean the first incremental steps? I think that's even too premature.
Well, you know, January 30th is the first date mentioned in the charter.
Well,
so
he's a human being.
Yeah, I know that. So what I'm getting at is we need to go back and look at the charter to find out what things are supposed to be accomplished by June 30th.
I see. Okay. You mean
so we have to identify
June 30th
those first.
Or
June
January.
30th, 2015.
Yes, I understand that. That's the date.
That's the first date in the charter.
That,
but to me, it's not clear in the charter what has to be done by June 30th.
Okay. June 30th is like a progress point.
Mm-hmm. It says that in the charter?
Here's what it says. The fourth paragraph, the beginning. The process will be conducted in such a manner as to provide an incremental, well-organized, and thoughtful transition with the goal of implementing achievable changes by June 30th. I don't think that means every goal of the charter by June 30th.
And I don't think there's a June 30th deadline actually in the charter transition process.
There's two.
I think you're right.
Talking about two different paragraphs,
Peter. Yeah.
Well, I'm in the paragraph I'm talking about modifying, it's the next paragraph after that where it says the county manager will submit a draft document, mm-hmm, with recommended changes to the counselors by January 31, 2015.
I would suggest we just strike that line. I mean, that sentence altogether. Because already what we're discovering is instead of
clarifying
is that there's an as-needed basis that are moving some of these things up on a priority, and the appointment of vacancies to the advisory boards just naturally rises to the top because it requires it to be done.
And it's routine and ongoing.
In other words, we're discovering step-by-step how to navigate through this. So I would just...
If you just strike by January 31, 2015, it would indicate that it's ongoing and collaborative.
Or as soon as practicable.
I would suggest that we just strike the whole sentence because already we are all working together as a collaborative team and really communication and collaboration step by step are forming the foundation of this team moving forward. And so that's all, I think, understood to... That's already... We don't have to
Do you want to strike
more specific
that,
than that?
Okay. The whole paragraph?
It's stating it over. Okay.
Because there is a second sentence
yes.
in that.
The idea is we want to make sure that we understand it's an incremental step-by-step process. Do we
yes.
say it? Yeah, we say
we
that up above.
We have said that.
So let's strike the whole paragraph.
I do think, however, Councillor Madore, that there is some merit in that statement that we will be fully collaborating with the county manager.
Yes.
It could say, counselors will then, in continued collaboration with the county manager, craft the final documents necessary for the step-by-step transition.
You know, all this,
that's
the,
what,
is it too much?
All this work you have the city manager doing,
mm-hmm.
he's not going to be doing it.
County manager.
Staff is going to be doing it.
Well, but he's the responsible
right?
party.
Yeah, I'll get substantial help, that's for sure.
So that's what
should.
I'm saying.
Yes.
So,
But the oversight and the fulfillment of it is his responsibility.
Well,
so
we also play a role in that too, because
I agree.
I like the idea of a legal counsel.
Counselors.
Just a legal counsel.
An attorney.
The outside independent person would come back and say, "This is what you're supposed to do." And this is we actually ask him how you recommend that we proceed, even. So.
You mean from the get-go?
I guess if you're going to reassign this to staff to do it, as a counselor, I'd like to review it too.
Of course.
And yeah. And maybe put forward my idea. Or somebody else's idea. So my concern is that some of our staff was in help put together the charter, and then that possibly could be the same staff that you would use to put together this other process to identify and implement things when we don't have a full understanding of what the charter is still saying. We still have. Not a full understanding of what the charter is saying, but yet we're going to have someone tell us how to implement it and identify that.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're making this too complicated. We're working together. We're well as a team, and we are. The document, if we simply take out that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the second paragraph from the bottom, we're good.
I think what's complicated is that you want me put this in writing as if I'm not going to be collaborative here without the document.
Actually, the third paragraph says that we all collaborate together.
Yeah, I don't have to have it in writing.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't need this.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, because we can just simply move forward.
Yeah, if we simply do this, and we have someone do this, and someone's going to tell us how to do the process. And then on the other hand, we're saying, well, we'll address the issues as we come to them. We'll address them as we come to that. And if there's a problem, then we'll have legal counsel give us the advice.
Well, I think it's important to subscribe or prescribe a balance. So neither the county manager feels like he gets overwhelmed with pressure,
mm-hmm.
because he's got 8 people coming to him telling him, you know, here's our interpretation of a 12-step process. or us feeling overwhelmed because we feel like we're not able to be part of it when it's ultimately our responsibility what the outcome is. So talking about the collaboration and the step-by-step process, I think it's important,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't lay the ground rules, because we don't have firm rules. We're figuring this out. But it kind of sets the spirit for how we're going to go about it. Mm-hmm. And some points where we can agree how we're going to be collaborative and work together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the public is looking for.
Well, they're going to disagree with this, no matter what we decide to do. You know that.
I have good faith that we can get through this process in a way that it'll be recognized that this is sensible, is appropriate.
Did you follow Mr. Green's process?
Anytime you're in a position of leadership, there will be voices of dissent that will, no matter what we do, there will always be voices of dissent. We need to pay attention to them because they might have some, they might have
good
a point, but it's not meant to complicate or to detour or to somehow make the process appear to be a challenge that we cannot achieve in an orderly way. I'm not concerned with voices that caution us or encourage us to go one way or another. I welcome that. But what this document is not meant to be a legal binding thing that ties our hands. It's meant to convey a spirit of cooperation and to lay out an orderly step-by-step manner that says we all are working as a team. We're all collaborative. We're all communicating. We will move forward with the spirit of getting it done in an appropriate way. So I'm good if we just simply strike that last second last paragraph, because it leaves it our freedom to do that with goodwill.
And
I don't.
So where are we starting?
If there's a way to make it better, I'm open. I'm here to listen.
Well, I think we have a start, and I think we have a start. The first thing that's on our plate, and that is the appointment of the advisory groups and the commissions. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be refined first. Mm-hmm. And then we go back through and review that charter and see what we anticipate to be the next thing that's going to come up before our face. Those are the things. And I think when we don't have to go very far before you find that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We found it questionable even there. So
I want to process. Mm-hmm. You're talking about concrete steps. We do need to get to the concrete steps.
Yeah, we have to know what we're going to
do. And in what order. And, you know, so this is the collaboration document.
Yeah.
Then we need to get busy and actually get the steps done. Completely agree
with
you.
We have to try to identify those things of priority that we
I agree.
Come up first. And I think, Mark, you might be probably more aware than we are. In anticipation of what's going to come up first, that in the charter wants us to go in that direction.
Well,
the first step we should take is sitting down and agreeing on, to the best we understand right now, what are going to be the priority items.
Well, you can service the targets as they present themselves, using a military term.
Mm-hmm.
Boards and commissions, they stepped up right in the line of fire because we need to appoint people because we have vacancies that exist.
Yep.
Contracts are flowing. Agreements are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, a decent approach would be the principal change that the charter enacted was to pass executive authority and to give me duties that I previously didn't have. And if we just read through them, I don't believe many of these are that controversial. Number one, supervise all administrative departments established by this charter or created by the council.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of did that before.
You were doing day-to-day management
before
and after.
So, no controversy with number one. Number two, execute and enforce all ordinances and state statutes not assigned to other elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
Marty Snell and Paul Scarpelli and his staff already do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might have policy imperatives. Like, we're currently complaint-driven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be complaint-driven into the future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a controversy with that. Language is pretty clear. Already had the responsibility. I continue to have it.
Yep.
Number three, present to the council an annual statement of the county's fiscal and governmental affairs and any other report which he or she may deem necessary. That's new. I'm going to draft it. I'll present it to the council or to the board. And you read it, give me feedback on whether you think it's adequate, and I will improve it the second time we publish it.
I was hoping that you would give us updates at board time every week.
Well, of course.
As to what the county's
sure.
doing.
Sure. And that the manager meeting we had this morning,
yeah.
plus board time.
I don't think we need another manager meeting. I think we could probably do it during board time.
Well,
I thought that manager's meeting, it was simple. It was straightforward. It was very profitable. It was. I thought you hit a home run with that. It was a good thing.
Plus, once the afternoons are unpredictable, as you can notice by the clock. And I would hate to have my meeting get pushed off to the side because we have substantial other business that the council wants to conduct.
Yeah, let me just add one point there, and that is this process isn't just for us to get the work done. This process is also for us to include the citizens so they can see this is their government at work. When they elected to divide the executive branch from the legislative branch, I think it's appropriate that the executive branch include a regular meeting that gets posted on the grid so that people can see what that branch of government is doing and how, so that's more inclusive. It's another layer of transparency that involves citizens, and I think they'll find it very interesting.
And we may not have one every week because there may not be sufficient material. And then I'll give adequate public notice that the meeting has been scrubbed for lack of content. Mm-hmm. So I could continue all the way through these. I don't believe that's necessary, but the majority of these are non-controversial. They were powers or duties already vested in the county administrator.
Yep.
There are some, however, for example, sign or cost to be signed on behalf of the county all deeds, contracts, and instruments not otherwise reserved to others by this charter or state law. Now, does the council wish to, or the board, I'm sorry, those are interchangeable terms to me, do you wish to enact a policy to limit that power that's specified in the charter? I don't know whether you do or not. That's an area where we need to have substantial discussion. And we need legal input on whether or not the board can do that. Am I going to be comfortable signing a $6 million contract for a road project, or do I want to share the responsibility for that with you three? I may want to do that. Do I have the ability to cede that power above a certain dollar threshold to the board? That's a legal question. So I think if we just study the document, parse out the things where it's absolutely clear and non-controversial, well, then we highlight it and say, go forth and do that. Where there are questions, we highlight it with a different color and say, work to be done.
So that's a real good example of what is the intent of the charter there.
Exactly right. Because cause or sign to be cause could mean, Commissioner Milkey, would you please sign that, right?
You caused, yeah.
So I don't know.
And the other thing that you know, when I was going to amend our ordinance when we were still commissioners, I was accused of trying to circumvent the will of the charter. Hmm. And I think that you just said that we go back and change your ordinance to limit or give you guidance as to what to do on the contract.
Right, but it's an area where I don't know how the public can assail the board for maintaining some of that power if I say, please take it.
Yeah. I'd like to say something to here, too. And it is, I notice that once in a while we'll stumble by saying board or counselor or commissioner or council member. And so what I would suggest is that we free ourselves from having to be technically accurate with all of our terms and we end up correcting ourselves because it's an artificial stumble. I think we can call anybody anything you want and our brain will translate it because we'll get it.
We know what it is.
Okay, so it's like writing 2015 on your new checks, right?
Yeah. Nobody needs to apologize or get the term accurate. I think we'll pick it up with time and we'll develop the habits that have become more natural. I had another point. It'll come to me in a minute.
So I don't know if that little dissertation I just went on made any sense.
It's a good example of what the priority might be as to what we need to address. But I also caution us to not change the intent of the charter. And how do you know that's not the intent of the charter? Because the charter's intent was to basically take it out of our hands and give it to you. So I guess they want you to go ahead and write that $9 million check.
Okay.
Oh, I know what the other point was. If I can
have had her, baby.
Because I've had, I think maybe you have received also some emails and even our previous temporary commissioner Ed Barnes said last night, something that I thought, wait a minute, something that doesn't add up. And that the impression that, don't implement this stuff because you're trying to somehow get ahead of it and do what's reserved for the five members to do in 2016. You're trying to kind of preempt them. And on the other hand, they're saying, you're dragging your feet, you're not getting it done. And so I asked them last night, well, which way is it? Pick one. Because either way, you fail if you want both. So I don't see anything that reserves anything for next year. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'm welcome the correction. I would like somebody welcome anybody to be able to point that out to us. So if there is something that we have to reserve for next year, that we make sure we identify that. But as I read it, we crank through this step by step, logical, and there's no reason for delaying any of this. Some of it just can't be fulfilled next year, until you got five people, because the chairman.
Yeah, the one thing is taking the acting off of my title.
Mm-hmm. The what?
Acting.
That's one thing that must wait.
Well, in the meantime, you do lots of acting.
I'm acting.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are you really?
My term. Oh. And so I'm just acting.
Yeah.
So
bottom line here, keep it simple.
But I think it's work in progress.
Yeah.
And I think in good faith, we can work in good faith. And until we get over the bumps, maybe we have that independent meeting might be better because of our time that we've had. Of course, you've got to realize legal stuff, but eat up our time today.
Well, if we listen to the tape and
yeah, and I would like to go back and find those things that I read that contradicted themselves. They were on different pages on this relatively same thing. So I could come back and speak more talentedly, identifying those areas that I had questions about. So I'd like to recommend that we continue this and then move on our agenda to get other things done.
And what?
In other words,
we're not going to resolve all this, but have this work in progress.
Should we modify the document to include the changes recommended by Councillor Stewart and bring that back next week?
I would entertain a motion to put it to adopt it and then to amend it, at least up to this point. You don't have to adopt the amended part if you want. But
I'm still back considering independent legal counsel.
Well, so, you want to make a motion?
No, because I think it's premature. I think that we'll take a look and see where we are and where we have to go and where we think we need help.
Okay. So there's two different topics here. Yeah. One is this, so do you want to just simply amend it so that at least we have a draft for next week that we've agreed upon at least that stage of the draft?
No, I think we're still in paragraph two or three. I'm trying to, and one thing he just mentioned right here, I think we better take a look at state law to see if there's a limitation of what he can do or if we have something in ordinance to do. And I think that we need to do what the charter says. Because if not, we're going to be taken to the woodshed.
Well, you know, that's where we're in a difficult situation.
I
think it would be irresponsible to have a board of counselors that would not look at expenditures of a certain size or higher. I think we would be not fulfilling our duties of financial oversight on things like big contracts or whatever. So,
I agree with you.
Ask a citizen, when you voted yes for the charter, did you mean that the county manager should have no oversight of the financial amounts over $1 million, or actually in most jurisdictions it can be as low as $200,000 in an organization this size?
You think with all the professionals and attorneys.
I don't think the citizens would say, yeah, I knew that's what it meant, and I want to keep it that way. I think that that's where we're we need to maintain our due diligence at the same time where we're trying to respect what the citizens did. But
now, something to consider regarding the large expenditures, they're typically capital. Mm-hmm. Marty's Tidemark replacement project.
Sure.
If I signed a contract for that, you would have approved the budget for that, and it would have been specifically identified in the budget, $2.5 million for the X piece of software. We go do our due diligence, RFP, rank everybody, pick a contractor, award the contract. You've already blessed the dollar amount for a specific project. I'm simply executing the contract after the fact. The road fund, in December of 1 year, you approve the annual construction program for the very next year, project by project, very specific regarding the revenue sources to be used and the amounts to be spent for right-of-way acquisition, design, and engineering and construction. So, in effect, you blanket bless the entire program in December, the year before the program is executed. So if project number one comes to me and we've done the bid award process, I just sign the contract executing your will. So it's not as though you lose oversight by that shifting over.
Yeah. The difference is seeing it as an elected person in front of you as an expenditure versus a 6-inch thick book, which, yes, ideally you'd spend more time looking at capital, proposed capital expenditures. So your point is well taken, yes, when you review the budget.
Actually, we have a specific we work session, the ACP and the TIP, the six-year transportation improvement program, and you've got very summarized data, very easy to visualize, project by project, dollar amounts. It's not a 6-inch book. It's a very understandable presentation, and these two counselors have been through it. So, but that's not for today necessarily.
That's more detail.
You know, in reference to that, when we have general open contracts, anything that goes over $200,000, all the red lights come on, and we want to pull it and have it come back to us and whatnot. Difference when we're going from $200,000 to whatever.
I was just going to say, it seems like the cart is getting before the horse here, because we were discussing a document, and it's just a collaborative, simple document, but the discussion you're having now is one of many items that you were talking about having this transition.
Nice. Yes,
this
exactly.
Transition.
Well,
and so if you get maybe in the for the benefit of time, you could decide whether or not you want to amend that document, make a motion of what amendments you want, and then go to a vote on it, and then so you can move on to your next discussion. Mm-hmm. Because those are priority items that you're going to be discussing for months coming up. Mm-hmm. And how you're going to handle those.
Yep, we just fixed these.
So the chairman has to.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion if you want to be able to put it on the floor and then amend it.
I always recommend that we not do anything with the document because, in my opinion, too much to amend. The document, in discussion of the document, we went to here and he was given us some examples as to what the charter says and how we're going to implement it here. And so we all of a sudden came to a screeching halt because all of a sudden we were talking about under the charter, unless we do something in under the charter or until we go back to make a decision whether that was going to change the ordinance to restrict how many millions of dollars you could write a check for, it doesn't fit in here.
Well, then in order to move this on, someone has to make a motion, there has to be a vote, or you have to just agree to table it.
Well, we can agree not to consider it at all, and then if we change our mind and want to bring it back next week, we can do
that. That's what I would say, is that it's a work in progress. And
well, if you're not comfortable with it, because we have to all sign on as partners, because it's we're a team. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not comfortable with this now, and you think we should not act on it.
I don't want to make sidebars or direction when we don't know the direction we're going to go.
You want to bring it back next
process.
Week?
I think we need to bring the whole discussion back next week.
Yeah.
Or are we going to have a meeting next week, a manager's meeting?
If I have sufficient content, yes.
Okay. I thought maybe we use that meeting to move a little bit farther on where we think we need to be and where we think we need to start. And like you said, you brought up some good things. Contracts, we need to address contracts.
But can we do that in a manager's meeting? Can we have that discussion?
That's an open meeting.
It's noticed.
Okay.
The public knows that you three are likely to attend. So.
And so what we can do, we can turn the staff between now and next week and say, go find out if there's anything in state law that would prohibit or limit anything to do with manager and contracts. So we have someplace to start.
Commissioner, maybe to help you clarify what this says, this doesn't get into any of the specifics of the charter and a position on any issue, whether it's boards or checks or signing authority. This document here only says that you're going to do what you've already been doing, and that's working collaboratively, cooperatively, and saying we're going to continue to bounce these things off each other, get everybody's opinion, and move forward as a group. Okay. That's all this document says.
And then you want to cross off the third paragraph that talks about process.
No, fourth paragraph, second to the last.
But it says the process, it doesn't identify the process. It just talks about how the overall attitude of the process. So this doesn't make any decisions about the charter. It only talks about the attitude of the four of you working as a group. And I think that was just what you wanted to establish going forward. And you've already been working that way in talking about boards and commissions.
Yeah.
We've got everybody's opinions and brought up things that one person might have concerned and shared that with others.
I think this document puts sideboards on me and puts me in a certain direction. And we don't know what that direction is.
It sounds like.
Well, but again, what I'm trying to say is this doesn't put you in the box on any position. It only says that you're going to work collaboratively.
It sounds like Councillor Stewart is of the opinion that if Councillor Mielke is not comfortable with this, that it should be tabled for a future discussion. And so if you were to go to a vote, it sounds like you wouldn't have the votes. And so
let me read this third paragraph, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. Because it's not just a simple thing to say we're going to sit down and talk about it. It says that we'll identify a process and implement the amendments necessary to change all current rules, processes, practices, ordinances, and resolutions to complete the transition by January 1st, 2016. That's more than just being collaborative. It's saying you'll do it this way, you know, and it's not that. It's not cut and dried because the charter is not as defined as it needs to be. And we have to decide whether or not we're going to put those sideboards on the charter as it reads. And one small example is how big a check is your manager going to write? And are we going to honor the 63,000 voters that said honor it, or are we going to take your role and said we have a role to protect the voters?
And I'm not sure that's even the right way, but we know we have a big responsibility to the voters. And I absolutely know that there are parts of this charter, from the number of calls that I had for months, saying, I don't really understand it. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? And what will this do?
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people called me back and said, well, I know you couldn't help me with this. I just voted for it. So, and that's not because people wanted bad government. So we do have to kind of think about that. You're not comfortable with this today. I say just take it off the table today.
Let me recommend as we got started, and we were talking about some of the first things that are coming up that's not specified here that we need to recognize, and that's contracts, duties, and then when we get into duties, we were talking about reports or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something here?
Yeah.
Notice there are four signatures here. If whatever we do, if we don't, if all four of us agree and be able to sign our name to this document, then it's not appropriate for us to be able to somehow vote on it and end up with missing at least one signature. So if you're not comfortable in moving forward at this time, then we have two choices, and that is that we can bring this back at some future time, or we can just table it and leave it off, because whatever we do, we need to move together with four signatures as a team.
And
so
we don't.
The question is, which way? I know you're not ready now. The question is, do you want to just, you want to bring this back next week, or you just simply?
It's a starting point to bring back next week.
Okay, yes. So we'll bring it back next week.
I agree with that.
All right. Thank
and
you.
With no obligation to act on it until we're all comfortable.
Yes.
And hopefully between now and then we'll have more time to go back through as Mark did and identify those things of concern or question.
Sure.
Okay.
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 What do we got next, Mark?
Okay. 1.3, advertising board advisory commission, advisory boards and commission appointments in the Reflector. Mm-hmm. And I think I understand what your intent is there.
What I have no framework for what we're talking about.
I think it's Commissioner Madore's item on the agenda. Mm-hmm. I think there are a number of ways that you can advertise for vacancies on boards and committees. One is to send a press release to a paper and hope they print it. Mm-hmm. And the other would be to proactively buy space in a very obvious and conspicuous place where you know people who read the publication will go. What you want to do is maximize the opportunity for people to be aware of the opportunity so that we can maximize the number of people who apply, because we've had limited success in some cases. And is that your point?
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Up to this point, when we advertise for a vacancy, we are depending upon the good graces of a volunteer editor to put a notice somewhere in the paper. And it may be in the back where in all that big print that virtually nobody reads unless they got this government kind of, you know, looking for auctions or something. So what the idea is, if we are inviting citizens in our community to participate on a volunteer basis for vacancies in boards, that we would adopt a standard practice of purchasing a small ad in the paper of record in the place where they normally read, like the other stores, you'll see them. And that would be a standard practice so that we get better results. More people would see it, we catch more fish. So that, I think,
Holly has some input.
I just had an idea. That's going to cost money.
A little bit.
And, I don't know what the dollars are. Mm-hmm. And if it runs one day, you might catch two fish or one fish. Mm-hmm. But what I think we could do in my office is call up the Columbian or call up the Reflector and help build an opportunity for them to write a story about what a cemetery commissioner does, cemetery district commissioner. I think that's one that we've had few.
In addition to any advertising we might do.
Or instead of any advertising. Not spend the money. Try at least to get a story in the paper, see what that generates. And then if you still don't get any fish, maybe spend some money.
I would.
An outreach thing from our office.
Several months ago when this subject came up, the Reflector, we had a conversation with the Reflector, and I got this information from the PIO department, and they said that the Reflector told them if you simply made one phone call to them, they would make every effort to get that printed in their next edition. As you know, they're a weekly, so it needs to be a timely phone call, and they would do that.
I think they're going to
appreciate having that phone call. They get the news release and maybe even a little bit of extra effort on the part of the PIO department to get this in front of their attention. They're more than willing to want to print it. Now, that's not a for sure that they will print it, depending on how much paid space they have, you know, space they have left from people who are actually paying. But they did make that comment.
Well, I think routinely a news release will be printed because that's information that is specifically.
Why don't we do this? Go ahead and Mark, you two work together and look at what has been printed, where it's been printed, and what form it takes, and see if it really fulfills the goal of having an obvious ad that most readers who read the normal part of the newspaper, the popular part of the newspaper, would see, because that's the intent. And about what it would cost if you were to just simply buy a little ad, and you can look at the various the typical sizes you can expect.
If you look at the staff time expended on redundant, repetitive recruitment attempts, I bet you that paying a little bit up front would in the long run be a cost-effective move.
Mark, you got it. Okay.
I have another suggestion before you go there.
Okay.
They do public service for free. So anything that you publish out there for the betterment of the general public is usually free.
Essentially a news release, correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And most of the time we just notify the newspapers by email, I believe. We don't need to have a story. We just notify them. Either we do a press release and send it to them, and if you want to do something else, you call them up and say, I sent you a press release.
What I was thinking, and maybe I wasn't clear, a story could focus on the function of the office to mm-hmm. which you are seeking recruits. So, I don't know what a cemetery district commissioner mm-hmm. does, but if you read a story, if you were somebody who lives up in North County and you read this story saying, oh, this is what this commissioner does, or this is what this advisory board member does, or this is what this advisory board does, and you're thinking to yourself, well, that'd be kind of interesting.
That'd be good.
So that mm-hmm. it's not, we're not relying on one little ad or one mm-hmm. little press release announcement, but a story that puts that advisory board or function in a context and puts a face on it.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what your press release is. It's about 5, 6, 7 paragraphs, and they've done a pretty good record of that. But Mark just got been saying that how many times you repeatedly have to call them to get it done. I hope we're not doing that. In conjunction with this, the things I'm concerned with is that it was brought to my attention that we're spending as much paying for ads in the Reflector, in the Columbian, as we were before. And I sent you another email.
You've got it.
Do I have it now?
In your inbox.
Okay.
Yes.
I saw some big numbers, but I think that, especially the newspaper of record, I would expect that they would do public service work mm-hmm. for us. If they're not, then we need to call and ask them why not.
And I'm also getting the same information for the Reflector to see how much more they're getting in revenue this year when we switched over,
mm-hmm.
just so you can tell what's happening with them.
Well, if I remember right, when we looked at that, we were spending about $45,000 for public records. It was identified as public records in our budget that we had budgeted for that in the past. So I would guess that would be transferred to the paper of record because they are doing that 2 or 3 pages
right.
of print.
Now, we did advise the board that when we switched the paper of record from the Columbian to the Reflector, that we would still spend money in the Camas Post Record, in the Columbian, because we want to broadly disseminate opportunities to bid on surplus property, to bid on houses that are being sold and that sort of thing. And then you have the clerk and the sheriff who independently put out legal ads.
That wasn't the intent. The intent was paper record, because we never did that before when the Columbian was a paper of record.
On the contrary, we have always advertised in other publications in the county when the Columbian was the paper of record.
My understanding that when we made that paper of record, only those items that were on a special time frame of short notification or something, that we would pay for the ad in the Columbian.
I didn't understand it at the time. If that's the consensus of the board.
Well, it'll be a good discussion we can bring up.
Okay. All right.
Another time.
Okay.
So when the point was that we went with the Columbian because the cost was half as much.
Reflector.
Reflector, that the cost was half as much. So if you go back and you do that, you continue to do what we were doing before, we defeat the purpose of doing it.
There's no point. This is 1.6, so it'd be...
Ollie, I like your idea of trying to get some special articles about the different board positions
or
information. But I think I tabulated some results, and we're looking at over 40 board appointments next month, next year, or this year, so... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's here.
There are always applicants for less well-known boards, less popular boards. There are.
Yeah.
But so to focus on those things.
Okay, 1.3, we need to be able to crank through this. It's already moving on 5 o'clock here.
I think we understand the intent.
Keep us abreast if we're having difficulty, because if we're having difficulty, we'd like to know it.
Sure.
Okay, great. All right.
1.4 is battleground chamber dues.
Mm-hmm.
I think the board's recently had a philosophy that we wanted to reduce the dollars that we were paying to support certain activities in town, and chambers of commerce are one group of organizations that the board has decided not to no longer support financially. We did not fund this group last year. And we got another invoice from them, and I just would like to know whether the policy that you've adopted regarding payments of this sort continues in force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the idea is whatever policy we have should be equal application. We should treat each entity in the same way, without making exceptions, unless we have some outstanding, compelling reason. And being that we are not contributing to the other chambers of commerce, and being that we didn't fund this last year, I would presume that we would just simply notify them to take us off the list.
So we don't get an invoice this time next year.
Yeah. That's my suggestion. I welcome feedback. No,
that was the policy we adopted. We were almost over $800,000 in dues and fees, and it was the taxpayers' money that we were doing it, so we were looking for benefits for the citizens of Clark County, and we didn't see those in these different bodies. We were paying PSU and several others, and so we pulled back spending the money for those. Along with that is that we still open the door for them, that if they would like to invite us to speak their informative type things, keep them abreast of what we're doing in the county, we would do that. But to buy membership that didn't truly benefit all the citizens of Clark County, it wasn't
okay. In other words, go ahead.
So I'm interested in which ones we used to do that we no longer do.
We did all of them.
I
think Axel had a spreadsheet.
Axel
for you.
Swanson is making a spreadsheet year by year, okay. Because I want to know at our maximum how many we did and how much, and as we started to reduce that, and where we are now with which memberships we have.
There's only one that I know of, and that's under the Woodland Chamber, and that's because the tourism is fed through the chamber.
It's a visitor center out there.
Yeah. And
so
we're funding it this next year.
Yeah.
And Councilor Mador sits on there on the tourism for Clark County, Vancouver.
Actually, I'll call you Commissioner Stewart does that.
Commissioner Stewart did that. Okay.
Oh, really?
So your
get
task,
it on my calendar.
Your task.
Well, that's the next item on the agenda.
To lift the tourism group for Vancouver that we're a part of.
Sure. It's a taxing. There's a tax
they,
revenue.
They have a huge amount, million plus. and we were looking for a measly $5,000 to share with the tourism at the north end of the state.
Sure.
County.
County.
So, I don't necessarily disagree with calling it down. I'm really interested about not just where we have spent money in the past and intend to spend it, but what does it do for our relationships that we have? So sometimes you can be a member, you can be a participant, and you are building relationships, working relationships, business, you know, helping keep business going. So I'm going to look at that, and then if I think it has value, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion.
Okay.
If I see anything I think that maybe we should reconsider.
We talked about that, and we said, who's been at the chamber meeting lately?
Well, that is a good point. And yeah. A lot of times their luncheon or annual installation or whatever is open to the public. It costs marginally more for a ticket to attend the event. But those are ways, too, that we can be present and build relationships. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be a full membership.
And that's when we really opened the door for them to invite us to be an informative entertainer for them. But we found that the dues that we were paying, even this little town, what's the little town of Battleground dues?
$685.
$685. And I don't think we have ever been to a chamber meeting.
Well,
we've gone to chamber functions.
Yeah.
I go to the chamber functions in Battleground, and I pay to go there.
Yeah.
And I pay to go to the Woodland Chamber, which is coming up, the Woodland Installation Chamber. I do.
So I just wanted to bring up that point that I'm looking at that, so that if you hear that I ask for a spreadsheet, you'll know what that's about.
Good.
So the consensus there is to just simply send them a letter.
Yeah, of course.
That take us off the list. We mean them goodwill, like we do the others, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll have opportunity to participate. And we invite them to send us invites to whatever special events so that we have the option to go to each one.
Great. Absolutely.
Okay. The governing board assignments.
You want to do that now or put that off?
This is a very lengthy process.
Yeah,
and
that
if
is.
We could postpone this for a week.
Sure.
some of these are prescribed by whomever is chair.
Mm-hmm.
Is mm-hmm. transfers to these mm-hmm. commissions or boards. Yeah. And some of those we may want to have an arm wrestling match over.
Yeah, well, typically these assignments are made during the board retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is scheduled for later in the month.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Commissioner
Manure, we know what you mean.
Is just getting ahead of the game so that when we have that retreat,
we will have had our discussion and our arm wrestling will be over.
Yeah. Between now in the time that we each find our home with each one of these, I will let us know help us to make sure that we don't end up something falling through the crack. If there's something that is prescribed that's supposed to be chair.
Right.
And it should change ahead of time, then you have my permission to put me to schedule those things automatically. And I think, do we all have a consensus?
I thought for now I would just keep my same committee assignments until we have our retreat and redesignate,
sure.
which would be like as
all right.
February.
So when in doubt, we'll assign it to Jeannie.
leave the room.
I'll recommend that. What can happen.
If I understand the consensus, we all stay the way we are right now, and we'll take this back, and we'll chew on it, and this will be one of the agenda items at the retreat.
And we will bone up on requirements that if the chair must do this, or
sure.
if two are there, the chair has to participate, and that kind of thing. And Peter did such good work on the boards and commissions that he'll probably get stuck with this task.
Yeah.
You mean awarded.
Awarded.
And keep in mind,
I might already be started.
Yeah.
When you consider the primary assignment, that many of these will require a backup. So
right.
Don't just think about your primary one. No, think about what
correct.
Alternate do you want to serve.
And we need a matrix of the dates or the days of the week and the times they meet.
We haven't.
Well, but we can't assign two things to you that meet at the same time, is what I mean.
Sure you did.
Sure you did.
It's very difficult.
Has it stopped us before?
We don't want to do that. It's
no.
An organizational
that
value.
It was a test.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
All right. So that'll be for the retreat, and you'll help us out. Make sure that we don't leave any, we don't stand anybody up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. 1.6. Is this document here? Did you want to? I think the significance of this is that the legislative session starts Monday, and if we're going to participate with anything, we might want to have at least something.
Well, they've got a lot of ceremonial duty. You can clue us in on how they start. They've got some ceremonial things they do up front, and so the first day of the session is not a deadline
first
for this.
First week is okay.
Yeah,
okay, so you want to just
because you got new members who have to be brought in and orientated.
They've done nothing different here, and I see you've highlighted here that I spotted in my book the other day. They are still have money. This TPA that they identify over here and the nickel funding package, of course that's there, and of course we support those projects because under the nickel package that was all that money was assigned specifically to specific jobs. But under the acronym of PTA is where they have been funding the Columbia River Crossing money this whole time. That's where that comes out of, the TPA.
Mm-hmm.
They want to remain that, so it's basically unidentified. And I think I heard someone say it's a Transportation Project Alliance or something like that, that acronym.
It's right here on the agenda. Clark County Transportation Alliance.
No,
that's something different.
Yeah,
they haven't defined what TPA
is. Yeah.
Do you know anybody know what that is?
I know exactly what that is.
Okay, well let's bring
where
this.
Where
is that?
Is that
the Transportation Planning Agency?
Well, that's the guess.
TPA.
In any case,
that.
It sounds like we'll bring this back next week. In the meantime, let's find out what that is.
Yeah, and I think Axel and Jeff Swanson are useful to this discussion.
Okay.
And
I asked what that meant at RTC the other day.
You should have asked Mark Brown because he's the one that shouted it out one day.
Yeah, but...
I think they left a letter off of it. I think it's technically RTPA, Regional Transportation Planning Agency.
TPA.
That was my impression, is that that's what they meant. But there are so many transportation acronyms, who knows?
That would be RTPO organization, but I don't think that's it. So
what did they say? What did they say?
I don't remember what they said. Whatever they said, I thought, oh, yeah, that's what it means.
Okay. So commissioner reports, anybody want to,
you already covered my thing. I was still toying with the idea of having independent legal staff help us with the charter when we get there, if we get there. And the other thing I still haven't seen, and we've been floating on and putting off for a year, is our gun ordinance. And I thought that this thing was fixed and refixed, and we found out that our existing ordinance covered it, but one of the things that we wanted to make sure under the existing ordinance that there were some things that anybody that was legally carrying in the county that they had to understand some certain things, like you don't go show off your weapon, you know. And and I thought we'd beat that horse to death. We started off and really complicated, and then when we looked at it, under existing ordinance that we had, it was already there, but we wanted to add this form so we knew who and they understood what we expected.
And was that adopted?
It's the original ordinance.
So, Commissioner, there were two issues that we finally ended up with on that. So we have a workplace violence policy that allows employees to carry a weapon if they get written permission from the county manager. So that's already in the county workplace violence policy. So we were going to use that, and Chris was supposed to finalize some guidelines for the county manager to consider in approving those requests to carry.
I know they've been busy. And
and he committed to early January, and as far as, as far as I'm concerned, early January goes up to the 14th.
And the other issue that I asked him to address is the other elected officials granting permission to employees to carry, because the way the county code was originally written, it covered, the county originally passed an ordinance that banned the possession of weapons, including firearms, in the workplace. Mm-hmm. When the legislature enacted the RCW's preempting firearms regulation, we did an amendment to that code that changed it in a way that the exception that they'd written for elected officials to grant an exception no longer applied to firearms. So he needs to clarify for us what gives them the authority to grant that exception. Whether it needs to be added to the workplace violence policy might be the way to go.
That sounds like a piece of RCW.
He needs to clarify.
Change things, and you have incomplete sentences or change of thoughts in the middle, inserted in a sentence.
So that's what we did at the county code level, is we changed it to address the firearms preemption, but at the same time, it eliminated that the effectiveness of that exception. So he's supposed to reconcile those two issues.
Okay.
And then what will happen?
Well, then our manager and our risk manager.
Have an ordinance?
No, we're not going to produce an ordinace.
We're going to enforce the one we have.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
An internal policy. Yeah. It's just clarification.
Yeah. That's what it was. Inconsistency with confusing. So.
Yeah, we don't want inconsistent.
That's all I have.
I really don't have anything meaningful.
Okay. Peter?
At this late time.
Mr. Manager?
I hate to admit it, but I'm spent. I have nothing.
Okay.
And you didn't even stay for the hearing last night. So you had a good evening with your wife.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Okay.
No, I do appreciate you letting me celebrate my wife's birthday. That was really, really kind of you. And I
was thinking about halfway through the evening, I would start celebrating it with you.
I could have told you where I was, and you could have joined us.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, right.
So
exactly.
Glad you came back charged. So
yeah, she's my backstop. So
yeah, that's very good. Relationships are super important. So by all means, if you need more time, let us know.
Okay. Well, I just like to say I think we're off to a great start. So
okay.
I think so too.
All right. Are we done?
We are.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then we're adjourned.
All right. Thank you, everybody.